Yeah, any mother to everybody who's online and who is ready to give up some time towards learning about the esoteric Bhakini treasures of our holy Tariqa. And it is my happiness and my privilege that you have asked me to do this sequentially so that we can all have incremental learning. And in this incremental learning, it's not as if you have not heard Waz's and other lectures on the meanings of the dua, but I think that dua is such a fundamental part of our tariqa practices. They are compulsory for us. Like I said last time, I quoted a farman of Maulana Hazri Imam that congregational prayer is very important in our tariqa. And so to know the meanings of our dua from more than one source, it doesn't have to be only Alwaiza Rashida Hunzai. You may have heard many other wazis and discussions. And that is good because it keeps refreshing our memories and it also helps us to deepen our knowledge. So because we have some few new pieces on today, so let's just revise a few points, okay? We had said that dua is the essence of all ibadat. It is the essence, the kernel. This is a hadith of the Holy Prophet. So if the dua is the essence of all ibadat, then that shows how important it is. And in order to show the importance, I had given you several Quranic ayats. For those who are here today, new, let me just mention the numbers so you can look them up. If you look at Surah 2, Ayat 186, it says, call upon God. Dua comes from the same word as da'wa or da'i, and it means to call or invoke. There is Surah 40, Ayat 60. And then we had also looked at another very important Quranic ayat, that yes, we all call upon God, but how should we call upon God? And for that, I had given you Surah 29, Ayat 65, in which the Allah Ta'ala, he gives a very apt example of how people are on a boat, on a ship, and it's in the middle of a very, very horrible torrential storm. And people are afraid that they are going to lose their lives. So they forget everything and they concentrate on asking for help from God. That type of intensity, where nothing else matters, only your communication with God. And then Allah says in the Quran that as soon as they reach dry land, they begin to ascribe partners to God. So Allah knows that our du'as are very limited in the sense that we have all these other things which are going on in our mind. So intensive prayer recommends very much so, right? So intensive prayer. So we had talked about all these things. Prayer is a daily necessity, as Karima has just reiterated. It's as necessary as eating, drinking, and breathing, and sleeping. You cannot do without it. And this is another aspect which is very important. And then we had, I think, just briefly mentioned that we Ismailis, because we are on the level of Hakika today, we are taught by our Imams that we have to be in constant prayer. We have to be da'imul zikr, constant prayer. So we are expected throughout our 24 hours to do the remembrance of God. But within those 24 hours, Maulana Hazri Imam says, go to Jamaat Khana as often as you can to do the three congregational prayers. One in the morning, twice in the evening. And somebody had asked the question, how can you do that? Well, you can do that. How can you remember God 24 hours? You can remember God through your thoughts, through your speech, through your action. How you run your business, how you run your families, what are your relationships in society. All these are ibadat in the eyes of God, for us Ismailis and our interpretation, which is that we are to be in constant reminder. Okay, so that was a very quick summary of what we did last time. It was really an introduction about the dua and its importance. I have found a very interesting farman, which talks about this complementarity. This farman was made by Hazrat Imam on the 13th of December 2008, the closing farman of the Golden Jubilee at Eglamour. And in this, I'm just going to quote to you, he says, let us recite salawat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Throughout the Jamaat's history, including during the Fatimid times, a consistent feature of the Ismaili Tariqah has been the complementarity between practices that are specific to our Tariqah and those that are part of the Sharia common to all Muslims, albeit with denominational specificities. You can see how difficult the English is as well, and how much, there are so many nuances there. And the beautiful way Hazrat Imam is explaining that, yes, we have some Sharia. If you as a Jamaat members are wondering, what is a part of Sharia in our Ismaili Tariqah? First, you have to know a hadith of the Holy Prophet. The hadith says, and you can find this in a collection by Sunni collector, his name is Tirmizi, and it is also quoted in The Spirit of Islam by Sayyid Amir Ali. This hadith goes like this. The Prophet said to the Ummah, if today you ignore 10% of what I am teaching you, you will be ruined. But a time will come when those who keep or who act according to only 10% will be saved. This is a hadith of the Holy Prophet. It is in a Sunni collection. So what is the 10% that we Ismailis are still practicing? We have namaz for Eids. We have ziyarat for somebody who passes away. We have Fatiha. We have all these things. Our nikah is part of the Sharia. So yes, we Ismailis are practicing 10% and complementarily with our tariqah practices. You know, there is a very deep misunderstanding in the Jamaat. The Jamaat seems to think that we have given up or abandoned the Sharia. No, how can we do that? The Sharia is the inheritance of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. It is the inheritance of our imams. We have not abandoned Sharia. Our imams have raised the Sharia to the level of Hakika. And that means that what is lower is absorbed in the higher. And you know, in other lectures to other groups, I have always used the example of a fruit tree. In a fruit tree, first a bud appears. When the bud opens up into a flower, the bud is no longer existing, but it is in the form of a flower. The flower also sheds its beautiful petals, because what happens? Raw fruit appears on the tree. So the raw fruit includes the flower and the bud. And then finally, the raw fruit ripens, changes its color, texture, and inside it, there is a kernel, a seed, and inside that, a kernel. And this kernel, you can grow another fruit tree with it. So that's a highest level. And that would be, in our terms, ma'rifah. But we are at the level of the ripe fruit, the hakika. Therefore, we have absorbed the flower and the bud. We have absorbed the tariqah and the Sharia practices of Islam. They are part and parcel of our existence. We have not given up anything. So I hope you make a note of this and try and help Jamaat to understand that, okay? I really had to bring that in because this Farman about the complementarity is very important. I've given you the reference, 13th of December 2008, recapped so that the new people are also on the same in the same playing field. I shall now go to today's topic, which is Ar-Rahman-ir-Rahim. And we are going to spend a bit of time on that because every single part of our dua starts with Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim, as we all know. So that means we are reciting Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim 18 times, inshallah, every day. But there are members of the Jamaat who have a good habit to start many things with Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim. If they start a meal, they say Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim. If they start a journey, they say Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim. If they start a piece of work, they say Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim. And you have all seen that Hazrat Imam always prefixes all his speeches, which are to the outside world. He always prefixes of names in the Holy Quran, in the faith of Islam. We have either single words like Ar-Rahim or Ar-Rahman or Ar-Rab. But we also have phrases which are names of God. So this phrase is Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim. It's a complete phrase. So there are two names. When you have a single name in Islam, they are called ism. Ism, I-S-M. And the plural of ism in Arabic is asma, asma. And you know, some girls are called asma. So asma is plural. In the same way, if you have a phrase like Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim, it is called a kalima. Kalima. Now, I know that most of the people who are attending these sessions, they are very interested in knowing more about the Quran. So both these words you will find in the story of Hazrat Adam and other prophets. But let me just give you one example. Take the story of Hazrat Adam, which is in quite a bit of detail in Surah 2, Surah Baqarah. So if you go to Surah 2, ayat number 31, then the Quran says, this is God speaking, God says, وَأَلَّمَا آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. And Allah taught Adam all the names. Asma'a. See, so that's the word asma'a, the plural of ism. And we are all familiar with the word ism, because we all know Isme Azam, supreme name, right? Isme Azam, of course, which in our Gujarati language we call Bol. All right. And then in the same Surah 2, a little bit later in ayat number 37, you will find this ayat. Then Adam received from his Lord words. And then if you look at the Arabic, which I have recommended in the central column, where it is transliterated in Roman letters, the word is kalima, kalimatin, kalimatin. Okay, words, plural, kalima is singular, kalimat is plural. So both these words are from Quranic origin, ism and kalima. So we have names, single names like Al-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, but we also have phrases like Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's just an introduction. Now, where did this start from, Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim? Yeah? I'm afraid that in these lectures, we will be relying heavily on Quranic ayats. So it is my recommendation that you all have a piece of paper and you note down these ayats. Because without looking at these ayats, it will be very difficult for you to follow what I'm saying. The phrase Bismillahirrahmanirrahim is actually in the body, in the text of the Holy Quran. I don't know if any of you knew that. And the reference for that is Surah 27, Ayah 30. And I will read out in English here. It is in the story of Hazrat Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, who was a sun worshipper, and she converts to the faith of the one God, right? So it is in this story of Hazrat Suleiman and the Queen of Sheba, and the 30, ayat number 30, Surah 27, ayat 30 says, she is speaking and she says, lo, she has received a letter from Suleiman. She says, lo, it is from Solomon, and indeed it is in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. So, in Arabic, innahu min Sulaymana wa innahu bismillahir rahmani rahim. I hope you find that interesting, because this is part and parcel of the actual text of the Holy Quran. And it is put at the beginning of every surah except one. Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, does not start with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and there is a historical reason for that, that Surah Tawbah, or Surah Bara'ah, as it is also known, is a very drastic type of a surah, because in it, God forbids the idol worshippers from going anywhere near the Kaaba, as they used to do before the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. So it's a very draconian type of a surah, forbidding, absolutely forbidding idol worshippers. So it doesn't have Bismillahirrahmanirrahim at the beginning. But the 113 chapters, other chapters of the Quran, they all start with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And this one in the text, this comes to 114. Which is a very important number, because it can be divided by the number 19. You know that the Quran also has what is in Arabic known as Hisab-e-Jumal. It has a numerology. Even the numbers in the Quran have meaning. Okay? So this Bismillahirrahmanirrahim occurs in the text, like in the, if you buy any Quranic copy, you will find it 114 times, 113 times at the beginning of the surahs, and once in the text. Surah Tawbah does not start with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Now, again, because you know, Islam is a community, Muslims are a community, an ummah of 1.3 billion people. Yeah, we are not a small community. We are the second largest faith in the world today. So obviously there are many different interpretations, and we should be aware of those. We should have a little bit of understanding about city of interpretations. You know, Al Imam whole plural world. So if you look at different Qurans, which is what we did, my husband and I, you will find that some Quran translators, they include Bismillahirrahmanirrahim as part of Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha has 7 ayats. So they include Bismillahirrahmanirrahim as the first ayat. But then if you go to the same translator with the second surah, then Bismillahirrahmanirrahim starts with number 1, Alif Lam Mim. You see the inconsistency here, right? So, how do we see? We Ismailis see the Bismillahirrahmanirrahim as an add-on. as a surah beginning, out of respect. Out of respect for the Quran. So we start with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Every surah except surah 9. For us, it is not part of the surah al-Fatiha. There are separate 7 verses. You can check them out. If you have more than one Quran, you might find the differences there. Okay? So this is interesting. Now we come to the esoteric, the batin meanings. Okay? Have you ever wondered why Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, you know, the letter B, which is at the beginning of the this kalima, this phrase, this phrasal name of God, B, and translated is by, you can translate it as through, by means of, it doesn't have one meaning. Arabic is a very rich language. We Ismailis, because we are Batinis, we would use through or by the name of Allah. Why didn't God just say, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, the merciful, the beneficent, or the compassionate. Why say, in the name of Allah, or by the name of Allah? It's a bit clumsy sounding, isn't it? Think about this, and you'll realize that the Ismaili interpretation is that we, very humble, extremely weak human beings, we cannot call on God directly. And God himself doesn't wish for us to call on him directly. Why? Because he has appointed a khalifa, a vicegerent, a representative on earth. Always. We have discussed this many times in our lectures here. We have discussed that the Holy Quran tells us in 2 places. One of them is actually Surah Tawbah, the one without the Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Surah 9, Ayah 32 tells us that many people will try to blow out the light of Allah, but they are not going to succeed because Allah will keep that light burning. In fact, he will perfect it. We have discussed this when I did a session with you all on the concept of Noor in the Quran. I did this very thoroughly with you. I don't know if some of you remember or not. So Allah Ta'ala has always kept a vicegerent, his representative, on earth. Can I request Shiraz not to be on the main screen because you are being fed by your dear wife? Yeah, I think you're being seen by everybody. Yeah. Just turn your camera off, okay? All right, good. So, you have, let me not lose my train, okay? So, we have the concept that the real names, Allah has two types of names. Please make a very, very, careful note of what I'm saying. Allah has names which are made up of alphabetical letters. So, Rahim is R-A-H-I-M. In Arabic, it would be RHM, because in the Arabic language, they only write consonants. Yeah? But what happens? You can write these letters. You know, if we write it in English, R-A-H-A-I-M. I can write it on a piece of paper. I can write it on a blackboard. I can write it on a whiteboard. And I can wipe it out. Yeah? Because it's only a alphabetical letter name. But according to our great, great peers and hujjats, da'is, there is another name of Allah, which is, if you try to rub it out, try to efface it or erase it physically, Allah will be very, very displeased with you. He will be very displeased with you. He will not allow it. In fact, his names will continue. His light will continue forever. Because that's what is guaranteed twice in the Holy Quran. So, what are these names? Sayyidina Al-Mu'ayyad Fiddin Shirazi, the great Hujjat of Maulana Mustansir Billah the First in the Fatimid times. Yes, I hope that some of you are aware that the Institute has actually published his seerah, his biography, which has been translated by Verena Klemm, a German lady. This is one of the publications of the IIS. Sayyidina Al-Mu'ayyad Fiddin Shirazi was also the teacher of Pir Nasir Khisrau. Sayyidina Al-Mu'ayyad Fiddin Shirazi was so loved by Imam Mustansir Billah that Maulana Mustansir Billah wrote a poem about him, a poem about his da'i, his hujjat, in which he says, "Oh my hujjat, you have reached that peak of knowledge which few have achieved." This was his status. What does he say? He says that the second type of God's names are, and write this down, they are living, speaking with akal, intellectual, and they are highly honored. And it's very beautiful in Arabic. Al-asma'u hayyatun natikatun akilatun sharifa. That the prophets and imams are the living, speaking, intellectual, and honored names of Allah. And this is why we would say that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim actually means through or by means of that name of Allah, which is merciful and compassionate. And today, in our very, very important historical time, that name of Allah, which is merciful and beneficent and compassionate, is Nur Maulana Shah Karimul Husseini Hazir Imam. I deliberately pause because I want that to sink into our heads. I want to help you to understand this by linking it with another tradition. You know, this Sayyidina Al-Mu'ayyad Fiddin Shirazi was 1,000 years ago, more. A bit more than 1,000 years ago. Let's look at Pir Sadruddin, very beloved of our South Indian Jamaat, right? Pir Sadruddin. Yes? What does he say in his Ginaat? And this is 500 odd years ago. Jene nanam natam narang naru. How does he describe Allah? He says, Allah is that which has no name, no place, no shape, no color. And that I also discussed with you when I did the session on Nur. That where the Surah An-Nur, Ayat An-Nur, Surah 24, Ayat 35, Allahu Nuru Samawati Walad, Masalu Nurika Mishkatin Fiha Misbah. Yes, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The similitude of his light is as though there is a niche in which there is a lamp, Mizbah. So in this description, Allah himself says, number one, that he is the light of the heavens and the earth. He is the absolute light. He is that light which Pir Sadruddin says, Jenenan rang na rup na nam na ta. But then Allah says that the example of my life is a lamp in a body. So we have two descriptions in that ayah. Absolute light and embodied light. Light in a body. light in the body of a prophet or an imam. Embodied light. This in Arabic would be called Nur Mujassam, in a jism. Whereas a pure absolute light which is everywhere is called Nur Mujarrad. Mujarrad. Yes? So we have this concept very much throughout the history, the intellectual history of our tariqa. We, in another group, are looking at the book, The True Meaning of Religion by Pir Shehabuddin Shah. And we haven't reached this point yet, but we are going to very soon. Pir Shehabuddin Shah is like 150 years ago for us, right? A little bit less. Because he was the elder brother of Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah. And if he had survived, he would have been the 48th Imam. But he didn't survive. That's why Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah, Salawatullahi Alayhi, became the 48th Imam. And what did Pir Shehabuddin Shah say in this book, True Meaning of Religion? He says, all those things that you attribute to God from your imagination comes out of your fantasy. He said that your mind, the human mind, is not capable of imagining God. If you say, I believe that God is sitting up there on a throne, this is only your imagination. It is the limitation of your imagination, not really the reality of God. And then he says something very funny. And I think it's good sometimes to have such funny things because they help you to remember facts. He says, most probably, even animals create their own God free from their own defects, ascribing to him the opposite perfection. Imam Muhammad Baqir says that the tiny ant probably imagines his God as having two stings, because it regards the possession of only one sting as a defect. Yes? So, when we say Allah, he also says that. It's not my own information. I have read it in his True Meaning of Religion, Risala Dar Haqiqat-e-Din. He says that when we say Allah is all-knowing, why? Because we know we are not. We are very, very restricted in our knowledge. Yeah? We say Allah is everywhere because we can't be everywhere. We are only limited in our own little place, right? So whatever imperfections we have, we take the perfections, the opposite, and we ascribe it to Allah. But that is not Allah. Because Sayyidina Al-Muyattuddin Shirazi and other great peers and da'is, they have said that the minute you apply any description to Allah, there will be two things will happen. One, you will have somebody else who is like that. And number two, the opposite. So supposing, Muslims say that the name Al-Hayy, you know, which we recite very often in our Jamaati practices, Hayyu Zinda, Hayyu Zinda, Hayy, Al-Hayy, Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. They say this is one of the two supreme names of God. Al-Hayy means living. So if you say God is living, then so are human beings. Even animals have a life. So you see, immediately you have compared God with us all. And the other consequence of that is that the minute you say Al-Hayy living, then its opposite also applies. Nauzubillah, dead. Living, dead. It cannot apply that to Allah. My dear spiritual brothers and sisters, I'm quite aware that many of the things I've just said now, probably you are hearing for the first time. So, please don't worry, just reflect on this. We are so lucky we have a very good intellect, right, in us. We should reflect on these things, okay? So here, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim is I start, I begin through the name of Allah, which is merciful and beneficent and compassionate, and that is the Imam of my time, Nur Maulana Shah Karimul Husseini Hazar Imam. That is the batini meaning, the Ismaili interpretation of Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And what else do we have which can help us to substantiate, right? So, again, I'm going to give you a Quranic reference. Look at Surah 7, Araf, with ayat number 180. And in this, Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. And Allah's are the most beautiful names. Call Him by them. Call Him by them. 7, 180. And what does Maulana Ali say? You know, Maulana Ali has written some amazing things in his discourses about recognizing who the Imams are. And Maulana Ali says, by which God has commanded to be called. This is in Maulana Ali's writings, and this is in his books. It is not a hidden secret. Anal asma'ul husna lati amara lahu, names of Allah, by which He has commanded the believers to call Him. And now, perhaps the constant farman, the oft-repeated farman of Maulana Hazar Imam will make a lot more sense, where he says, whenever you have a split second, whenever you have a moment, remember, Ya Allah, call on Ya Allah, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali, Ya Imam, the names of any Imam, the name of the Imam of the time. Why is it said like that, in one sentence, in one breath? Because they all mean the same thing. Okay, and let me see, what more should I say? Right, now we go to a little bit of analysis, historical and symbolic, of the actual words. The very first letter of Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, B, or Ba in Arabic, yes? Ba. Ba. I don't know. Do any of, I know that Musa definitely knows Urdu and Arabic, so he knows the writing of Arabic is from the right to the left. Okay? What happens that, before the computers and the pens, this type of, ballpoint pens, etc., were invented, people used to write with reed pens and ink, fluid ink. So when you dip the reed pen into the pot and then put the pen on the paper, it creates what is called a nukta, a dot, a nukta in Arabic. And then in Arabic, you have to either drag it horizontally or vertically to create the letters. Right? So keep that point in your mind. The second point about this language, Arabic, like many other languages, that in the beginning it was a pictorial language. Yes, there wasn't an alphabet. It was people wrote in pictures, a little bit like the Egyptian hieroglyphics, right? So what did they have to show the letter B? They knew that the word B is the beginning of the word date. Like we say, A for apple. Everyone knows A for apple. So in Arabic, it was B for bait. So this is what bait looked like. A rectangular shape representing a house with a door in the middle and a little, right? I hope you can all see that, right? Okay, gradually that changed and it became like this. The top was lost, just the bottom bit of the rectangle and the draw the door drop down. And then finally, this last shape is the rounded shape of the B and the nukta at the bottom. Yes? This is the development of the letter B. Why am I going into this detail? Because Maulana Ali has said, I am the dot under the bar of B. Under the bar of B. Yes? Maulana Ali says, he is the dot. You see, what did I tell you at the beginning? That if you want to create a letter, you go to drag the dot, either horizontally or vertically or whatever. Everything begins with the dot. And Maulana Ali says, I am that dot. That's one meaning. The second meaning is connected to two ahadiths, very important ahadiths of the Holy Prophet, which all of you should know because it is accepted by every single Muslim on this planet. The Holy Prophet said, Ana Madinatul Ilmu, I am the city of knowledge, and Ali is the gate. Whoever desires knowledge should come through Ali. Ali is the gate. And there's another equally famous hadith. Ana darul hikmah wa aliyun babuha. I am the house of wisdom and Ali is the door. Yes? The Holy Prophet was very clear in his time. I don't know how people could have misunderstood him. He was very clear about Hazrat Ali's position. And we today should be equally clear about the position of the Imam of the time. If you want to progress spiritually, intellectually, and materially, we should be clear about Hazrat Imam. Who is he? He is the beautiful names of Allah. And we have to call Allah by invoking Imam's name. And Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim for us, right at the beginning of the dua, 6 times multiplied by 3, is I begin in the name of the living, speaking, intellectual, and the glorious or the honored name of God. And it is Shah Kareem who today is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You know, I've spoken for 3/4 of an hour and I think I should stop here. I thought I might start on the rest of the Surah Al-Hamd, but I don't think so. I think I've said many, many things which may be new. I think they will be new. And I'm sharing with you what I have learned in all these years that I have been studying our faith, yes? So please forgive me if in any way I have said anything which might have upset you, right? That was not my intention. My intention was to discuss the batini meanings of our tariqah. You know, Maulana Sultan Shah, in his talikas and messages to the Jamaat of Africa, there's one message he sent. And he said to the Jamaat, throughout history, we have been known as the Batiniyun. The Batiniyun. Of course, those who didn't agree with us, they used it as a curse word. But for us, it's not. It is full of meaning. We are Batinis. We are Batiniyun throughout history. Another name. We are Ta'limiyun. We are those who believe in the Ta'lim of the Imam of the time. So these two names are about us. And Hazrat Imam, when he says, ours is a faith of intellect. This is what it means, that we have discussions like these, that we raise the bar in our understanding of our tariqah, and inshallah, that will make us more grateful, it will make us more humble, and it will help us to progress in our search for spiritual life, inshallah. Thank you, everybody, for listening.